Netfilt over here on the Dalet and the Biz, we had seen how the Rishonim raised an issue about the Rashi, the end of Dibur HaMaskil Menasech, where Rashi points out, Lekel LeMeimar Shenisko Yayin Nesech Shizarakno. We're not dealing over here with the Ta'arovis of Yayin Nesech into Yayin Kosher, the Loka Machzerei. Because nothing really is lost. There's no nezek. It can be sold to a goy. And we saw that the Shulti Giborim and the Tosus Rid ask on this Rashi three basic questions. Firstly, we have an Amora named Shmuel who learned the Mishnah of Menasech exactly in this manner. Why is Rashi just ignoring Shmuel? Secondly, this question as to what's the status of Ta'arovis, Yayin Nesef, Betoch Yayin Kosher, Rashi quotes one daya, that of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, but there's also a Tanakama who holds that all the Yayin is Asur. Again, why does Rashi simply ignore that second daya? And thirdly, even according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, that one's allowed to sell it to a goy, but the Gemara in Gittin compares Menasech to Midameya, and in the world of Dimua, even though it can be sold to a Kohen, there's a loss of money. And so over here also, Lachora, when you sell wine to a goy, there's a loss of money. And so why is Rashi so certain that when we're dealing over here in the world of Avos Nezikin, that the Av Nesek is not the mixture of Yayin Nesech into Yayin Kosher? Those are the three questions that were asked. And we saw two approaches. One, a sort of a technical approach, that of the Maharsha, that in Achinami, certainly there's a din of Shmuel, and there are different deos, but the loss, according to Shimon Gamliel, is such a small loss in the world of Yayin that it's not a loss that would bring it into the realm of being an Av Mazik. Very strange teretz, but he, you know, it's the Pnei Yoshua is very, very distraught about such a teretz. And he points out that, no, Rashi was aware of Shmuel, and Rashi was aware of all of the deos. However, we're dealing in our Gemara in defining an Av Mazik. An Av Mazik requires a pasuk. It requires a din to arise. It's not enough to have a hefsed. Certainly there's a hefsed in the world of Ta'arovis, Yayin, V'Yayin, but a hefsed is not enough. You need a hefsed to arise. And Shmuel calls the world of Menasech a knas. We can't compare one knas to another knas. And so over here, in Achinami, certainly there would be a payment, there would be a hefsed, there's a loss, but it wouldn't be an avmazik. Also, a technicality, a different nature of a technicality than the Maharsha. The Maharsha's technicality was one of quantity. This is a technicality in terms of the world of quality. It doesn't fit into the concept of Av Mazik. However, leaving aside the Maharsha and the Pnei Yoshua, Kvodam HaMakom HaMunach, there is another approach that Rav Soloveitchik followed in, that was brought down in the Rishima Shiurim of Rav Reichman, and Rav Uchtenstein also learned that way. And Rav Gustman in his Kuntrasei Shiurim came to the same conclusion from a totally different point of departure, which is very fascinating that, you know, Kila Kosh Baruch Hu put this Chachma into the world within the last 100 years. And whoever was able to be mamik in the sugya felt that this chachma was baruch hashemesh. So we'll start off with the point of departure of the Rav and then move over to the point of departure of Rav Gusman. The point of departure of the Rav was Reb Chaim that we saw, but we didn't see. We saw that a Reb Chaim in Hilchos Toin V'Nitan who wanted to distinguish between the world of Mazik and the world of Chabala. The world of Mazik was a world of Tashlumen, and the world of Chabalah was a world of Onesh. It was a punishment, because there's no way that you can have Tashlumen in the world of Chabalah. And we pointed out, when the Gemara says, on Daf Dalet Amud Beis, Trei Gavnei Adam, this Adam, the Azik Adam, Adam the Azik Shor, it's not just a question, do you pay five payments or one payment, but we have over here two different worlds. We have a world of Tashlumin and a world of Onshin. That's how we saw the Reb Chaim. But Reb Chaim has a sentence in that in those five paragraphs that this sentence was either there was a Masoras that the Rav had from Reb Chaim, or he himself was Medayik. If you look in the, I just quoted the sentence on the top of the page that I photostated for you today. Had the pasuk Rambam the ein nishba'in al deme karka. The Rambam paskin. What was the Rambam's over there in Hilchos Toyin V'Nitan? What was he writing about? I go into your backyard and I dig it all up, and I have to pay to put it back in order. And what if there's a difference between what I claim I damaged and what you claim was damaged? I claim I damaged $100 worth of property, and you claim that it cost $150 to get it back to where it was. So I'm moda b'miktsas. Classically, moda b'miktsas should be chayav shvua d'oraisa. The Rambam says that since we're dealing over here with karka, since what was damaged was property, ein nishban al karkos, and there's only a shvua seses. The Ravid asks, we're not talking over here about karka, we're talking about money. It's a question, how much money do I owe you to fix it up? Why shouldn't there be a shvua seses? What if it makes us? So Reb Chaim points out, Baal korachach tzorach lomar, dehu dekevanta hatashlumen hein chalifei hakarka shehiziku. He points out that when there is a case of niske mamon, that when you damage property, you're not chayev money. You're chayev to replace that which you damaged. You're chayev to be mashlim, to fill in that which you damaged. So basically over here, your chayev is to put the land back in order. And so the question is, how much does it cost to put the land back in order? That's an issue of karka, not of mamon. Namely that the world of Nezikin is only a world where there is a pegia, where there is a undermining of a cheftza. A cheftza is broken. A cheftza is lost. Something happens to the cheftza. And my chiyuv is to replace the cheftza, to be mashlim the cheftza. That's the whole din of Nezikin. It's not an issue of how much loss I cause the owner. It's a question over here of that which relates to the object. Working off of this principle that the world of Nezikin is a world of a pegia, a cause of damage to an object, we can understand why there would be a machlokas in the world of Hezek She'eino Nikar. That's Zaman Da'amar Hezek She'eino Nikar Lo Shmei Hezek, because the object physically looks exactly the same. When I have a jar of truma food, and I put a dead lizard on the jar, in other words, was I pogeya in the object? The food is exactly the same. I caused a loss to the owner. Namely that now, this cannot be eaten by a kohen when he is tahor. It causes a monetary loss, but there is no pigia in the object. That's the mandamar hezek sheino nikar lo shmei hezek. What's the basis of the mandamar hezek sheino nikar shmei hezek?
Subjectively, it's different.
So well, theoretically, he could disagree with this whole yesod. Right. He could say you don't pay for pigia in the object; you pay for a loss to the owner. But the Rav wanted to say, no, everyone agrees with this Yisod of Reb Chaim, that the world of Nezikin is a pigia in the object, but an object has a double status. It has a physical status, and it has a halachic status. And if I am pogeya in the halachic status of the object, that's also a pigia. If I'm metame that which was tahar, if I'm menasech yayin, I take yayin and I turn it into yayin nesach. I have changed the object. I have changed the object not from a physical perspective, but from a halachic perspective. I've changed the halachic status of the object. In the world of terminology of brisk, in other words, every object has a halos shem, has a halachic status, and I've changed the halos shem from Tahar to Tame, from Kasher to Aser. In other words, and that's considered to be a meaningful change. Given this background, now we can ask ourselves, what is the status when I mix Yayin Nesach into Yayin Kasher? Not that I take Yayin Kasher and a Menasech. That we could view as a change of status. What if I have over here a mixture? So I could say that I really haven't changed the status of the kosher wine. The kosher wine remains kosher. The Yayin Nesach remains Yayin Nesach. But because it's all mixed together, I can't drink it. I have an Iser of Shtiyah. I can't drink it. There's certainly a hefseh to the owner. But maybe I really haven't done anything to the wine itself. The kosher wine basically remains kosher. That is what Rashi, according to the Rav, is telling us. That in this world of Tavro V'Siyayin Nesach, certainly there's a loss to the owner. Certainly there's a hefseh mamon, but I haven't changed the status. Look at the language of Rashi. Rashi points out that we're dealing delo kamachasre velomide. I haven't changed the status of the wine. It remains, the ayin kosher remains kosher. V'haraya, I can sell it. Namely, if I had turned the yayin kosher into yayin nesach, I wouldn't be able to sell it. It would be aser bahana. Because the yayin kosher remains kosher, I just can't drink it technically because it's mixed with yayin nesach. So that is not considered to be a din of mazik. Namely, that the world of hezek shein onikar, to call it hezek, is only if there's a change in the status. What about dimua? In other words, mentions that we have over here three cases, metame, and menasech, and midameya. And midameya is also a mixture. Why over there do I say that isn't av mazik, and I'm not willing to view a mixture of yayin nesach as mazik? Aren't they exactly the same? So this is what the Rav explained. No, they're not exactly the same. Halachically, when I mix chulin and truma, I turn everything into a new status called dimua. It's not that I just can't get, I don't know what is the status of this particular grain. Is this chulin or is this truma? No, it's all a new status of dimua. And he brings a raya from a Mishnah in Challah, that if I have dimua, it's all potter from Challah. Not only is the truma ratio potter from challah, all of it is potter from challah, because dimua is potter from challah. Namely, I could have two cases that appear to be very, very similar from an external perspective, but halachically, they are totally different. Dimua, we have a new status. We have been pogeya in the original of chulin that we had, and then we've turned our chulin into dimua, with a whole new, halachic status. Masha Enkein, in the world of Tarovis Yayin, it remains Yayin Kosher, just I have a chisaron, I have a hefseid mamon. A hefseid mamon I have, but I haven't changed the object. And so that's not called an avmazik. What comes out, according to the Rav, is that, and he points this out, is that we have sugyos chalukos. That is the perspective of our sugya. However, the sugya in Gittin, in which Shmuel says that Menasech and Dimua are one and the same, right? Menasech hainu Dimua, just that they're both knossos and we can't compare one to the other, that is assuming that just like in the world of Dimua we have a new status, so also in the world of Tarovis we have a new status. If you want to, take it back to the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. We have a machlokas. What is the halacha when you pour yayin nesach into yayin kosher? The Tanna Kamma says you could sell it to a goy and just don't take profit from the yayin nesach shabo. The Rav Shimon Gamliel says you could sell it to a goy and just not take profit. The Tanna Kamma over there says yayin b'yayin osur. He holds that tarovis of yayin is really like dimua. So just to thank you, whoever raised the board, that we have a question, how do we view a tarovas of Yayin Nesach b'Yayin Kosher? We have the Tanna Kamma who says Yayin b'Yayin Osur. We have Rav Shimon ben Gamliel who says that Mochro Legoy Chutz Midamei Yayin Nesach Shavu. in conceptual terms, this is telling us that we have a pigia in the stat in the halachic status of the tarovus. This is telling us that we have a hefseid mama, avo ein pigia b'cheftza. The kosher wine remains kosher. This is the background of the sugya in Gittin, in which Shmuel says that the Ta'arovis Yayin is the equivalent of Midameya. And this is the source of our sugya, of Lifi Rashi, in which we say that Ta'arovis Yayin is not the same as Dimua. Dimua is a pigia in the Chefza, and Ta'arovis Yayin is only a Hefseid Mamon. And that's what Rashi is telling us by that word, Lamachasra. This is the picture according to the Rav, and according to Rav Lichtenstein. Okay. Add a gimel. Okay. This is the picture, according to these gedolim of how to learn our sugya, and then everything is beautiful. Rav Gustman, I pointed out, comes to the same conclusion in our sugya from a totally different point of departure. Rav Gustman wasn't into being medayik in a Reb Chaim in Hilchos Toin V'Nitan. That was not his schnitt. But he was certainly medayik in a Gemara. And so if you go with me, work with me on Daf Tzadites. Tzadites Amud Beis. And you go down to where you have the ches of the Ein Mishpat. It's about 3/4 of the way down the Amud. You have it? And the Gemara says, Hahu mag rumta da'asai lekame derav. A case came in front of Rav, where Shochet shechted a cow, and he shechted through the tabas agadola. You know, it's within the kana, within the windpipe. It's tabaot tabaot. It's rings upon rings, and you have to shecht within a certain number of rings. And there's an upper limit and a lower limit. And this person shechted at the boundary of the upper limit, and there's a machlokis, a tanoim, as to whether what this shochet did, this megrimusa, this is kosher or treif. So it came to Rav. What do we do with this situation? We have a shochet who shechted an item, and according to one tana it's kosher, according to another tana it's treif. So Rav said tarfei. He said you can't eat it. You can't eat it. Safek doraisa lachumra. However, patre letabach mishlume dame. But he pattered the shochet from paying damages. Okay? And the Gemara then goes back and forth and deals with this. In other words, what kind of pshara was Rav over here making? If it's treif, then the shochet should have to pay. And if shochet doesn't have to pay, then kaner it's kosher. What business is it saying it's treif, but the shochet doesn't have to pay? So the way Rav Gustman understood this was very simply that in the world of eating the object, so we have a suffik d'oraisa l'chumra. We have a machokas haposkim, suffik d'oraisa l'chumra. You can't eat it. But if we'll ask, was there nezek? So certainly there was a hefseid mamon. If you can't eat it, there's a hefseid mamon. But who says hefseid mamon is our definition of nezek? Our definition of nezek is that there's a pigia in the cheftza. And here we have a suffik if there's a pigia in the cheftza. And so when you have a suffik, if there's a begia in the cheftza, hamotzi mechavero lavaraya, namely that we don't know if we have over here nezek. We vada have a hefseid mama. We vada have something which is treif. But we don't know if there's a begia in the cheftza. So comes along Rav Gutzman and says, hu hadin, when you pour yayin nezek into yayin kosher, you take a drop of this wine, we don't know if this is yayin kosher, or if this is stam yayin nesach. We don't know. We have a suffix on every drop. What is it? So every drop we have a suffix if we have over here pigia in the chayfetz, And that's why it's not nezek. Then he comes up to the same conclusion and the same chiluk between the sugyos, etc. Just that he's working off of a different source. It's not, he came to the world that nezek is a pegi and the cheftza, not from a diuk and repayim, but rather from a psak of rav on daf tzadites amid beis. I think Reb Chaim would have agreed. In other words, that this is how you learn the sugi over there, but that's how he came to it. So we have over here then a different approach to the world of Nezikin, and we'll see that you know, once we have this approach, it'll answer other issues as well. In other words, in terms of building, we're trying to build Yesodos in terms of Arbavas Nezikin. We dealt with Yesodos of Keren, of Shane, of Regel. In terms of Adam Hamazik, we have Adam Da'azik Adam, we have Onshim, and we have Azam Da'azik Shor, that up to now we spoke about. There's a din of Nezikin, of paying. What we see over here is that the payment is limited to a situation where it's an Av Mazik, where there's a Pegiyah in the Chayfetz. If there's no Pegiyah in the Chayfetz, there's no question that there's a Hefseid Mamon, but you don't pay for every Hefseid Mamon. If we have a case of Grumma, Grumma b'nezikin is pater. Is there a Hefseid Mamon? Certainly there's a Hefseid Mamon. Not every case of Hefseid Mamon are we going to have a Chiyuv Tashlumen. Okay. Beseder, any questions? So just realize that this will be relevant also, those who are learning Yerodea. Who is learning Yerodea? And who already learned Yerodea? Okay, so everyone knows this halachos. That what happens if you borrow from someone a freshik pa? Okay? And accidentally, you know, it's a pa which is freshik ben yomo, and you put, or even a freshik pa which is not ben, you borrow a freshik pa, and accidentally you put a spoon, a milchik spoon, you stir that the fleshik pot with a milchik spoon, which is ben yomo, and you trafe up the pot. Do you have to pay for the kashering of the pot? Clearly, there is a hefseg mamon. It's going to cost money to kasher the pot. Or maybe when the pot can't even be kashered. Maybe it's a pot that has enamel or something and has to be thrown away. Do you have to pay for it? So, in other words, the question is, well, why are you paying? Adam amasik is chayef, Bein Shoge, Bein Mezid, etc. But according to Rashi, you'd only pay for the Hefseid Mamon. You only pay for Hefseid Mamon if there's a Pegia in the object. How do we view a pot which is Balea, a Fleshik pot which is Balea Milchitz? Is that a Pegia in the pot? And so you can go through all your Hakiros of Tam Keikar. You can go through all your Hakiros of what's a din of a Blia. Is it that the Blia is there? Is the Blia within the, does it change anything? In other words, have you done anything to the pot? You simply have a taroves. In any case, if you want to see the lumdus, go to the last paragraph of Rav Gusman's long article and long shir vav. The last paragraph, I think it's tes vav, and he goes back and forth and back and forth in terms of this Rashi. Okay, this seder. Okay, so we spent a shir and a half on a Rashi. Tov. The Gemara then continues and points out, V'Rav Oshia, my taima lo tani hani. Why doesn't Rav Oshia also have 24 avos nezikin? Why does he limit himself to 13? So Gemara says, B'mamona kamairi b'knasa lo kamairi. Okay, it doesn't deal with the world of knas. So that will take off some of the avos. It'll take off kefil dalad v'hei. But what about ganav v'gazlan? What about the keren? Of the principle of that of Ganav Gazlan de Mamonahu, Lisnei. So the Gemara answers, Hakatanile. Ganav and Gazlan are included in Rav Yechiya's, in Rav Oshia's list. Where are they included? In Shomer Chinam v'Hashoel. In there, we also have a Ganav and Gazlan. We'll come back to this in a second. Rav Yechiya Nami Hatanile Shomer Chinam v'Hashoel. But Rav Yechiya both brings Ganav and Gazlan and Shomer Chinam v'Hashoel. So according to Rabbi Chiya, Tani Mamona Da'asili De Hetera, V'Ktani Mamona Da'asili Yadei Be'isura. The difference is that in the world of Shomrim, it originally came into his hands Beheter. In the world of Ganav and Gazlan, it originally came to his hands Be'isur. So even if we could find Ganav and Gazlan in the world of Shomrim, we could still also list them separately. We have an option of listing them separately. We have an option of listing them together. But where do we find Ganav and Gazlan in the world of Shomrim? So here Rashi tells us, four lines from the bottom. Tana le shomachinu v'hashoel. The hasam nami shayach gneva. We can have a ganov within the parasha of Shomrim, kagon shetan shendiknav mimenu v'harehu v'yodo. That if the shomer falsely claims, we're dealing with the shomer chinam, who falsely claims that the object was stolen from him, when really it's in his hands, amrinam the perik meruba toein tanas ganov kaganov. He's going to have the status of a ganav. When he's caught, he'll have to pay kefil. He'll have to pay dalad v'hei. He's considered to be a real bona fide ganav, the toein tanas gazlan kagazlan. So we find that the world of ganav and gazlan within the world of shomer chinam. What about in the world of shoel? The Gemara has shomer chinam v'hashoel. So Rashi says, takes a deep breath and says, "Hoda nakar hacha hashoel lav dafka." There's really no ganav and gazlan in the world of shoel. That we only found it in the world of toin tanas, where you're toin to pati yourself. You want to exempt yourself from payment. Vaharehu, the shoel, chayev mekulo. So really, this word in the Gemara is extra. Now, that is not our first approach to words in the Gemara, to say that they are simply extra. But Rashi had no alternative because he didn't see any way of fitting ganav and gazlan into the world of a shoel. Comes on the Rashba and has three perushim. Right? So if you look at the page that I gave you, first perush of the Rashba is Rashi. Right? That you have toin tanas ganav by shomer chinam, you have toin tanas gazlan, and shoel kedi nakte. It was just mishum grora that once he mentioned shomer chinam, he also mentioned the word of shoel. Tani leva hadodi dalat shomrim shomrachinam v'hashoel. It's like writing shomrachinam da hashoel, that in the world of shomrim we have this world of neva, but the metlav dafka. But then the Rashba says, however, we can give another perush inami yeshlamar, the lav shoel dekra ko'amar, that the word shoel over here is not relating to the person who is a classic borrower. That the Torah tells us that he's chayav an onsim and potter meisamachnas malacha ella shomer chinam. The shoel we're talking about is really a shomer chinam sheshalach bo yad. I asked you to watch my computer for me, be a shomer chinam on my computer, and you go ahead and you use my computer. I didn't give you permission to use my computer. I asked you just to watch it. So you have a status of a shaleach yad. And the Shaleach Yad has the status of a Shoel Shalamidas, and the Shoel Shalamidas has the status of a Gazlan. QED, we have found our Gazlan. The Gazlan is a Shomer Chinam who uses an object that he was asked to watch. And so, because he's using it, he's called a Shoel, and this is what it means. Shomer Chinam is the case. He didn't use it. He just claims it was stolen. And Shoel, he actually used it, and he's the Shoel Shalomidas. That's the second teretz of the Rashba. The third teretz of the Rashba is Harayvitz al Kosav, the Shoel de Ka'amar, Mesa Machmas Malacha, Vahaya Biyado. We're dealing with the situation of a Shoel who very, very much has his eye on the object that he borrowed. And so he claims that he borrowed a pen. And he claims that the pen stopped working in the middle, and really it works fine. It's in his hands. But he claimed it stopped working in the middle, and so he threw it away, and that he's potter, because the shoel is potter, amesa machmas malacha. And in that manner, he's considered to be a gazlan. L'chora, these options were open for Rashi as well. Rashi was well aware that there's a din of shlichus yad. Rashi was well aware that there's a din of towing mesa machmas malacha. But Rashi stuck with that first teretz of the Rashba, which is the only teretz that Rashi offers. That the word over here shoel is simply has no meaning. Is meaningless in the context. Is there a reason why Rashi did not learn like the Ukimta of the Rashba or like the Ravid? How did Rashi understand the Gemara? What was he looking for in order to be able to say that we have Ganav and Gazlan within the Parsha of Shomrim? what two conditions have to be fulfilled in order to be able to say that we have the world of Ganav and Gazlan and the world of Shomrim. I'm just asking to say what I said in a more halachically valid sentence. And we're not just looking for a situation where someone is going to have to pay the principal because he intended to cause someone a loss of money. What do we need? We need something that is halachically a ganav and a gazlan, and that's in halachically still in the parsha of Shomer. Yeah. Well, is the case of shoreach yad? Is that a case of Ganav and Gazlan in the parsha of Shomrim? When we speak about a Shoreach Yad as a Shoal Shalom Idas, and therefore he's Chayav like a Gazlan, is that in the parsha? He's certainly a Gazlan. A Shoreach Yad is certainly a Gazlan. Right? In other words, if you take my computer, which I didn't give you to use, just to watch you use it, you're stealing my computer. You're a Shoal Shalom Idas. Is a Shoal Shalom Idas in the parasha of Shomrim?
No.
No, it's not in the parasha of Shomrim. Shoal Shalom Idas is simply, it's in the world of Gzela, it's not in the world. In other words, Shoal Shalom Idas, you're not going to find in Hilchos Shomrim of the Rambam. You'll find it in Hilchos Gzela Va'aveda. It's a form of Gzela. I can steal something by taking it into my Rishus, or I can steal something by having it been put into my Rishus, and I'm going to steal it from within my Rishus, but there's no Shmira over here. In other words, namely, the Shoal Shalom Idas, the Shoreach Yad is mafkia his Shmira. He's undermining his Shmira by using it. In other words, so Gazlan we have. What we don't have is the parasha of Shomrim. What about the case of the Ravid, where you have a Shoel who claims Mesa Machmas Malacha, and it really is in his hands? We have the parasha of Shomrim. What are we missing?
It's not really a
Gazla. What? In other words, to be a Gazla, not everyone who wants to cause someone a loss of money is a Gazla. Clearly, he wants to cause over here that by claiming that Mesa Machmas Belacha, he wants to cause the Mashiel, the one who lent it to him, a loss. But, you know, that's not Gzela. Gzela is someone who has Kinyane Gzela. There are no Kinyane Gzela when you claim something is Mesa Machmas Belacha. Toein Ta'anas Ganav, Toein Ta'anas Gazon is unique Gzeras Hakosuv, that you can steal something with your hands, and you can steal it with your mouth. That there are two ways of stealing. I can steal something by pickpocketing it. I can steal it by being a highway robber. That's one. Or I can steal it by claiming it was stolen. That's also a din of stealing with a din of kefel and dalet vehe v'chulei v'chulei. So within the parasha of Shomrim, points out Rashi, we have a parasha of Geneva and Gzela. But the cases of the Raivan and second teretz of the Rashba are really either not in the parsha of Shomrim or not the parsha of Ganav Vigazla, not the status of Ganav Vigazla. Okay, the Rav over here in the Rishum Eshirim wants to offer a fourth option. What the word Shoel is doing here. Where in the world of Shoel do we have Ganav Ugazlan? Again, according to Rashi, the word Shoel is totally superfluous. According to the second teretz of the Rashba, it relates to the world of Shlichus Yad. According to the Ravid, it relates to Toein Mesa Machmas Malacha. Yes? I'm sorry.
Can you explain why Mesa Machmas Malacha isn't really Kineva? If in the end of the day, the guy wants it for himself, and he's just using this
The Gemara on Daf Kufhei Amud Beis here in Baba Kama says Hakofer bepikadon naase alav gazlan v'chayev ba'omtzin, and all the Achronim over there understand that the kofer bepikadon, namely someone who borrowed something and then says, when the owner comes to him, says, "What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about." That you have chiyuve gzela, naase alav gazlan v'chayev ba'onsim. You don't have kinyane gzela. That, you know, it's kinyane gzela, shinui, yeyush, if you use it, you don't have to pay for the usage. Those only come about when you do a maisik zelo or a maisik neva. Here you already had it in your reshus. All you do is you don't want to give it back. So you're like a shevi al tase. You're not doing it in a maisik zelo. There are no kinyanik zelo. There are chiyuvik zelo without kinyanik zelo. And so it's not a classic gazlan. A classic gazlan has chiyuvik zelo and has kinyanik zelo. But in order to have that, you have to do a maisik zelo. Here there's no maisik zelo. We have a unique halacha that toein tanas ganov, toein tanas gazlan, to pati yourself. That the Gemara has psukim from which it's learned out that's going to be a ganav and a gazlan. But meisa machmas malacha is nishtahin nishtahir. You simply you are not returning an object to its owner, but you're not doing an act of gzela. Okay. So the Rav wanted to say that you working off of that which we spoke about last week, we pointed out that when we take the world of Shomrim and we want to view Shomer Chinam, Shomer Sachar, Socher, and Shoel, that the fact is that Shomer Chinam, Shomer Sachar, and Socher, there are cases that they're Chayev and cases that they're Potter. So we pointed out you could view them as being chayav for a lack of shmira, what we call plusheya. They're chayav for a lack of proper shmira. But the shoel, who is chayav irrespective of what occurs, even if lightning strikes, even if an earthquake or tsunami took it away, this has nothing to do with not watching it properly. This is a din of responsibility. I'm responsible under all circumstances. That level of responsibility is what we find by a ganav and a gazlan. A ganav and a gazlan, if a tsunami took away the object, they're still going to be responsible. So, according to Rav, conceptually, not that we have the actual case, but conceptually, every shoel is like a ganav and a gazlan. Namely, as opposed to the other shomrim who are chayev for lack of shmira, the Shoel is chayev because of achrayus, because of overall responsibility, like a ganav and a gazlan. So the moment that Rav Oshia, in his list of 13 avos mazikin, mentions the shoel, that already brings in the nezik of responsibility. In other words, we don't need the exact case of ganav and gazlan, not like Rashi, but we need the category. And the category of ganav and gazlan is a category of total responsibility. The only parallel to that is the shoel. Okay, so conceptually, he felt that the world of shoel would include ganav and gazlan. Interesting idea that we have over here, a conceptual inclusion rather than a specific categorical inclusion. Beseder? Okay, so this is the Gemara over here on the bottom of the Dalet Amud Beis. And the Gemara continues with a list of Rabbi Chiya and asks why Rabbi Osher didn't include them. Eidim Zomamim, Mamonahu, Lisnei. So this is the Gemara we already saw. Savalak Rabbi Akiva, Damar Ein Mishalman, Al Pi Atzmon. There's a Machokas, Tanakama, and Rabbi Akiva. What's the status of Eid Zomim? E Savalak Rabbi Akiva, Lisnei Trei Gav Neshor. We haven't yet learned this, but Rashi already sends us, and Tulsa sends us to the Makor, that Rabbi Akiva claims there's a difference when a short tam damages another animal or a short tam hurts an individual. Listen, shor da'azik shor, that the first three times that a shor gores another shor pays chatzi nezek, v'listen shor da'azik adam, that even the first time that a shor gores a person, it pays nezek shalem. So according to Rabbi Akiva, we have another category of Shor Da'azik Adam. The Tanan, Rabbi Akiva Omer, in the Mishnah, Daf Lamed Gimel, Aftam, Shechaval Ba'adam, Mishalim Ba'mosar, Nezik Shalev. That if there was mutual damage, just as man owes the owner of the shore Nezik Shalev for whatever damage, it was a collision between a shore and a person, right? They were both running to be Mekabel Shabbos, and they collided. And the man broke his leg, and the shor hurt his horn or whatever. So the man has to pay for the horn, or the mu'ad la'olam, and the shor has to pay, the owner of the shor according to Rabbi Akiva, pays nezek shalem for whatever damage was done. In other words, when you subtract the amount that was done to the shore. So lechara, that's a new category. So the Gemara answers, Hatavri Rabbi Akiva Ligazize, that this is an expression, an idiom, which means that Rabbi Akiva already tore up his shita into pieces. The Tanya, Rabbi Akiva, Omer, Yochol, Aftam, Shechava, Ba'odim, Yeshalim, in Ha'aliyah, Talmud Lomer, Yaselo, Migufo, Meshalim, Ve'eno, Meshalim, in Ha'aliyah. So here we have a machlokas between Rabbeinu Hananel on the page and Rashi and Tosfos. Exactly what does it mean that Rabbi Akiva tore up his shita? According to Rabbeinu Hananel, he was chozer bo. He changed his mind. Originally he thought that you pay nezek shalem, and he changed his mind. Tosfos says that's not true, that Rabbi Akiva didn't change his mind. He just added a condition that there is an upper limit, that even though when a shore damages a person, it pays nezek shalem, but only up to the value of the body of the shore, yigufo. What is that? So, you know, it's still a different category. Namely, it's the, you know, it's still very much would not be chatzi nezek. It would be whatever it would be, but not chatzi nezek, yes? So
Rabbi Akiva holds the imishalem on piatno by mamono and nefashos, or just nefashos?
Rabbi Akiva holds that ein mishalem al pi atzmo in the case of Edim Zomimim under all circumstances. He holds modi biknas pater. He views the whole payment of Eid Zomim, kasher zama, velo kasher asa, as a knas. And we spoke about it already. Moving back over here, you know, it's why is this considered to be Rabbi Akiva undermined his shita? Doesn't he still have two categories? So Tosfos points out, and l'chora this is Pshat and Rashi, that later on down the line, we point out that one of the requirements of an Av Mazik is that the Av Mazik pays Meitav. He pays from the best. Meitav, paying from the best, is not only a question of paying from the best quality of land, Edus as opposed to Benonis or Ziburis, but also that there's no limitation of Gufo. The moment Rabbi Akiva has a limitation of Gufo, that already is no longer Meitav. And therefore, doesn't fit into the Avos Mazikin, again, on a technicality. It doesn't fit into all the categories of an Av Mazik, and that's Tavri Rabbi Akiva Ligzize. That even though he has a different category of payment, but it's not going to be an Av Mazik, because it doesn't fit into the world of Meitav. The Gemara then continues, Ha'onis ha'mefata motzi shemra mamonohu, and they're all counted by Rabbi Chia. Lisne, why doesn't Rabbi Oshia count them? Manashach, the Gemara answers, if we're going to put Ones Mefata and Motzi Shemra under the world, in other words, that there are, in Ones Mefata and Motzi Shemra, there are a number of payments. If we're talking about the payment of Nezek, that the woman was harmed, Tanile. Nezek is mentioned by Rav Oshia. Itzar, Tanile. That also is mentioned by Rav Oshia. Iboshes, Tanile. Also mentioned. Ipagam, that the woman now, no longer a Besula, is worth less than a woman who was a Besula, Hainu Nezek. Ma Yislach HaMeimar, what payment over here would be, have we not touched yet? Knasa, the fact that you pay 100 or 50, an additional shekel to the father of the girl. But Knasa Lo Kamairi, we're not talking over here about additional payments, we're talking over here only about the world of Nezikin. Then the Gemara continues, Hamatame v'hamidameya v'hamanasech. Again, these three are mentioned by Rabbi Chia, working off of the Mishnah in Gittin. And these are all mamonahu, we're paying for damage. Lisnei, why shouldn't Rabbi Oshia count them? Manavshach, says the Gemara. E hezek she'eno nikar shmei hezek hatano le'nezek. It's included in Nezek, all of these are Niske Mama. E Hezek Sheino Nikar Loshme Hezek. Then, as the Gemara in Begitin pointed out, Havele Knasa, Ubiknasa Lo Ka Mairi. So then we could ask in Rabbi Chia, Lema Kasava Rabbi Chia, Hezek Sheino Nikar Loshme Hezek, Dishme Hezek, Hatano Le Nezek. Maybe in this Machlokes, whether Hezek Sheino Nikar Shme Hezek or Lashme Hezek, we can prove that Rabbi Chia holds that Hezek Sheino Nikar Lav Shmei Hezek because he counts both Nezek and these three. Tana Hezeka de Minkara, but Tana Hezeka de la Minkara. We could say really Hezek Sheino Nikar is Nezek, but again, there is a physical Nezek, and then there's a Nezek to the halachic status of the object. Okay? We have over here some Tosos that we could be, that it's Kedai to be Medayik in terms of simply building our building of the world of Mezikin. We have this little Tosos Hamatami v'Hamidameya. Tosos points out, Havimatzi l'meimar delotoni luhu. Maybe the reason Rav Oshia didn't mention Mitame and Midameya, Mishum delo mechayev b'shogeg. Because the Mishnah over there tells us b'meizid chayev b'shogeg patur, and in the world of Rabbi Oshia, Adam Hamazik is chayev bein meizid bein shogeg. Right? So maybe over here, the reason that it was not mentioned is because of the issue of shogeg. And Tosfos says, points out, you know, but the Gemara has a better teretz. Okay. But Tosfos is assuming the fact that something is not chayav b'shogeg is a reason for it not to be mentioned in the list. In the Shita Mekubetzes, I photo-stated it for you. No. In the Shita Mekubetzes, Daf Hei Amud Aleph, he quotes the Tosfos, and then he asks a question. V'kasha hare boshes eino chayav b'shogeg de eino chayav b'boshes ad sheyiskaven, that Rav Oshia in his 13, in the list of his 13, counts boshes, that when you hurt someone, when you injure someone and you cause them embarrassment, you have to pay for the embarrassment. But embarrassment is only in a situation of where you intended to injure them, you intended to embarrass them. And so we see l'chora that shogeg, the lack of chiyuv b'shogeg does not take us out of our listing. So why does Tosfos say that the fact that it's not chiyuv b'shogeg would be a reason why it wouldn't be listed? So the Shita answers, bishlama boshes matzino shem boshes ba'alma shechayuv b'shogeg. The difference is in terms of other cases. Do we find other situations where there would be a world of boshes that wouldn't be conditional upon kavana? And Mashen came over here, across the board, there's not going to be a chiyuv b'shogeg. The Rav in his Rishimos gave, I think, a very, very beautiful distinction. What's the distinction between not paying for metame midameya and menasech b'shogeg and not paying for boshes b'shogeg? Did anyone see the Rishimos over here? A very nice distinction. That in metame, menasech, and midameya, we have a ptur b'shogeg. Namely, we have all the conditions of chiyuv. The person clearly was metame. There's no question about the act itself. Just that we have a ptur. And the Gemara points out that in the world of knas, we have a ptur from the world of shogeg. Ma she'en kein boshes, there is no busha if it's b'shogeg. Namely, I can't be called an embarrasser if I didn't intend to embarrass the individual. The whole payment of boshes is assuming that there was kavana. If there's no kavana, it's not that I have a ptur, there's no boshet. There's simply no boshet without kavana. It's not defined as boshet. It's not that it's defined as boshet, but you're potter. It's simply not defined as boshet at all. So the halacha is whenever there is boshet, you're going to be chayev, both b'meizid and b'shogeg. Just that when there's no intent, that's not called boshet. It's simply not. We don't have the mechayev. It's not that we don't. Not that we have a ptur. We don't have the raw material with which to be mechayev. Okay. Then we have this little Tosfos katani hesek delo minkara. Tosfos points out, Hada katani gimel gafne. Why, in other words, why do we need three examples of hezek she'eino nikar? Wouldn't one be enough? Hadikatani shlosha gavni lefishem shnuyim beperak nizikin katani shamarchinam shoel nosei sachar vasocher katani gavna tuva. That just like we counted four shomrim, we count three cases of hezek she'eino nikar. Is this an equation? Is there really room to compare counting four shomrim as four instead of one? And so we count three cases of hezek she'eino nikar instead of one. What's the fallacy, l'chora, in this equation? Couldn't you distinguish between Arba Shomrim on one hand and Menasech Mendameya and Metameh on the other hand? Right. The four Shomrim all have different dinim. We have four different Mechayevim. That's why we had to count them all, because they're, each of them is a separate reason for Chiyuv. But here we have simply three examples of one principle. Why would you need three examples of one principle? Isn't that like writing, it's a Shomer Chinam who's wearing a yarmulke, a Shomer Chinam who's not wearing a yarmulke, a Shomer Chinam who is wearing tefillin? I mean, like, it's a Shomer Chinam. Why bring it over here three examples of one Mechayev? We have one Mechayev of Hezek Sheino Nikar, three different examples. So the Tosfos Rabbeinu Peretz was bothered by this question, by this problem within the equation of the Balei HaTosfos, and he explains what Tosfos means. Mikol makom tanei shlosha, why mishum da have shemos mechulakim, midi da have socher, dino kishomer chinam, o kishomer socher, afilu hachi chashiv lei. That really, in the world of Arba Shom, we don't have four categories. We only have three categories. We have Shomer Chinam, Shoel, and then a category of Shomer Chinam, Shomer Socher, and Shoel. The Socher is either a Shomer Chinam or a Shomer Socher. He's not a category in and of himself. He's another example. In other words, a Socher is either another example of Shomer Chinam or another example of a Shomer Socher. He's not a category in itself, and it's counted. So we see that we count examples. Okay, that's one approach. But there could be another approach, working off of how we began Shir today. Why would you need to list Metame, Menasech, and Medameya as three, rather than simply give one example? Why wouldn't it be enough to give one example?
Because the mechanism is different of what you
said. Had the world of Hezek She'eino Nikar been simply Hefsei to the owner, so then there are three examples of one principle. But we just pointed out that the world of Hezek She'eino Nikar is that we have a change in halachic status. So we need to be told that Metame is a change in halachic status. That Midameya, even though it's a mixture, is a change in halachic status. That Menasech is a change in halachic status. Namely, we have to be told what are changed halachic status and what are not. Because, for example, when you pour Yayin Nesach into Yayin Kosher, according to the Sugya on Daf Daled Amud Beis, that's not a change in halachic status. So we have to be able to be told what is a change and what isn't a change. I mean, it's not a question over here of three examples of one principle. It's pointing out that we have three changes in the halachic status. Okay? Each of them on its own. That fits in very nicely according to the Rav's working assumption. Let's continue in the Gemara. The Gemara then asks, sorry, Bishlama letana didana tana minyana lemiyutid ravoshia. Going back to Daf Beisum and Aleph, Arba bos nezikin, Arba is to exclude the 13 of Rav Oshia. Rav Oshia is 13. Tana minyana lemiyute d'Rabbi Chia. He doesn't have 24 categories. He has 13. Ela minyana d'Rabbi Chia lemiyute mai. The assumption is the Brisa would not list a number unless it came to exclude another possibility. What other possibility exists in the world of Nezikim other than the 24 that were counted by Rabbi Chia? So Gemara answers, the Meute Moser Umefagil, that we have two other categories that we would have thought would be counted as Avos Nezikin, Kamash Malan Rabbi Chia, that they are not counted. Okay, So when we look at these two categories, let's take them one by one. Let's start off with mefagel. What does it mean? Without looking at the Rishonim. What is pigul? Well, in other words, who learned Hilchos Psulei HaMakdashim? Who's learning Daf Yomi and has gone through Zvachim and Menachos? Who has read Parshas HaShavua last year? Yes, what is pigul? You have kavana to do in avoda. It could be the eating. It could be the zrikas hadam. It could be, any of the avodos in the wrong time frame. In the wrong time frame, 100%. That's pigul. The kohen who thinks this way. It's just like we have chovas halavavos in terms of mitzvos aseh, we have chovas halavavos in terms of mitzvos los aseh. There are los asu rakarei levavchem. There are averos that one can do in the world of one's mind. And so over here, this is an avera that the kohen can do, lo yechoshev, it's a lav d'oraisa of pigul. And we might have thought that since in the world of pigul, what's the status of the korban? What's that like? That yes.
I just have a question. Isn't people also, if the Kohen has the wrong intent, like he thinks he's doing it to shlok it?
That is not the classic example of pigul. In other words, you can make mistakes in terms of thoughts, in terms of time, in terms of space, and in terms of the identity of the korban. But the classic pigul, the one on which if a person were to eat it, b'chayav kares. Is only when one is thinking out of the realm of time, when one changes the time. You're 100% correct that there is going to be an issue if the place is changed or if the identity is changed. That will come to that within Rashi. But the classic pigul is that you change the status of the time. What is the halacha of the korban that was brought? Let's say a person brought a korban ola. That is supposed to be burnt on the Mizbeach that day, and the Kohen has in mind that he wants the dam to be Nizrach the next day. What's the status of that Korban?
Pasul.
The status is Pasul, right? The Korban is totally invalid. So we might have thought that would be an Av Masik, right? I mean, you're causing a loss to the owner. So the Gemara answers, Mefagel Lisnei, why really isn't that brought as the 25th Av Masik? We're not talking about kachim, right? We're talking over here about the world of our day-to-day lives, even without a Beis HaMikdash, and so mefagel is too limited in terms of its scope to be counted as an avmasik. Our problem over here is not with the Gemara. Our problem over here is trying to understand Rashi. Rashi says, mefagel, kohen sheshachat korbano shel Yisrael chatos, L'shum shlamim. He points out what Shmuel pointed out, that there is also a din of a kohen. It's having the wrong kavana on the identity of a korban. A Yisrael brought a korban chatos. The kohen has in mind that it's a shlamim. The halacha is in the first mishnah of Zvachim, ein hakorban ole lechovas ba'alav v'tzarich acher. That in that situation. According to Rashi, the korban has to be rebrought by the owner. What is problematic in this Rashi?
This isn't standard pigul.
Right. A, this is not standard pigul. This is not the classic pigul. A. B, is that really the halacha? That if you bring a chatos as a shlamim, then the animal is, that the korban basically is a valid korban, but the owner has to bring another one? What does it say in the Mishnah in Zvachim? When you bring a chatos as a shlamim?
It says it's pasul.
It says it's pasul. When you bring a shlamim as a chatos, that is eino ol l'shem ba'alim. And that has to be read another one. The korban is kosher, but it's kosher as a korban nedava. And this owner had made a neder, and it doesn't fulfill his neder. But in the case of Rashi, it's possible. These two questions are raised by the Pnei Yehoshua. L'chora yesh l'tmoa. I'm sorry for sending you the entire Pnei Yehoshua, but that's life. L'chora yesh l'tmoa. Mi sanya le lefaresh mefagel kachol pigul da'alma. Haynu machshevet skutz l'zmano or Machshav Eskutz L'Mekomo, but certainly not Shimi Hashem. This is not the classic Pigul. What pushed Rashi not to learn the classic Pigul here? Atakate Kasha also, Hachatos L'Shem Shlamim, Gufa HaKarban Pasul, Kamoshim Shaninu, Beresh Ezvachim. Rashi brought down the wrong Havacha. So, the Pnei Yehoshua comes to a conclusion, Machmas Kol Zahyanira Be'enai, from Riata, L'Hagia B'Loshan Rashi. We have a mistake in our Girsa and Rashi, that the one who, the person who was the rewriter of Rashi, the scribe who rewrote the Rashi, was dyslexic at this point, and he switched the terms. In other words, instead of writing Shlamim L'Shem Chatos, that then it would fit in with the halacha that Rashi quoted, he wrote Chatos L'Shem Shlamim. The problem is that out of the two questions of the Bnei Yoshua, he only answered one of them. He didn't answer both of them. He answered that there's no inner steer in Rashi, that Rashi is giving you the right halacha for the proper case. But why didn't Rashi give the ideal case? That the Bnei Yoshua tried to answer, and then he backtracked and leaves it as a problem. However, there are three akronim on the Masechta, one on the page, the Rav Baruch Rentschberg, and two in the back, the Mitzpah Le'esam and the Hagos Ben Aryeh, who all come to the same conclusion, that Rashi over here is assuming you learned Daf Yomi, and he's assuming that you learn Gemara in Menachos on Daf Mem Tes Amid Aleph, and they're assuming that you looked in Rashi over there, and then you would put all this together, and then Rashi is 100% wonderful. So, if you look at the Gemara in Menachos, Daf Mem Tes, Amar Rava, Mosvinan Ashmaisesin, we have the following Braisa. Hakohanim Shepiglu Bamikdash, Mizidim Chayovim, Shogegim Peturim. If the Shogeg made, if the Kohen made a mistake in terms of the world of Pigul, on purpose, he's Chayev to pay for the damages that he did. And Shogeg his potter, Vetoni Allah, Pigulan Pigul, Hechi Dami. What's the case of Kohanim Shepiglu? Amar Abaye, La'olam diyada dechatosi v'kamachashev ba l'shem shlamim uba omer muter. It's a case where he mixed up the identity. But we just asked, isn't that not a case of pigul? Isn't that a totally separate halacha? So Rashi over there points out, machashev l'shem shlamim la'ochlan shnei yamim v'layla echa. The chatos has to be eaten yom v'layla. Namely, chatos and shlamim, the difference is not only the identity, the difference is the time frame. And that's what the Gemara intended. The Gemara uses Chatos and Shlamim as examples of two Korbanos that have different time frames, and the Kohen confused the time frames. Tosus also learns that way. Klomar, La'ochan Shnei Yamim, Ukapirish Bekuntris. So Rashi is simply quoting the Gemara in Menachos. This really is the classic case. We just should not understand over here that the Kohen confused the identity, the Kohen confused the time frame. Chatos is an idiom, meaning a time frame of a day and a night. Shlamim is an idiom, meaning a time frame of 2 days and the interim night. And that's all that Rashi means. He means over here that which he says, you don't have to change the Girsa, and then it's beautiful, and everything is fine and good. However, within the Pnei Yoshua, we were bothered that we sort of left off in the middle. So in the Rishimos HaShiurim, there is a problem still with Rashi. Because Rashi should have written, according to the Maharan Rentschberg and the Ben Aryeh and the Mitzpe Eson, he should have written, Kohen Sheshachat Korbanos Yisrael Chatos L'Shum Shlamim, the Pasul. He should have written, I'm dealing with a classic Pigul, and Din is Pasul. The Din of Ein HaKorban Ola L'Cholas Ba'alav, that's not the halacha in a case of a change in time. That's the halacha in a case of change of identity. Change of identity is more kal than a change in time. A change in time is the classic Pigul, so we could say that Rashi was intended that. But why then should he bring the halacha from the Mishnah in Zvachim and Daf Bezim, Kul and Daf Bezim and Aleph? I'm sorry, Zvachim, Daf Bezim and Aleph. He should bring the halacha pasul. Simply say pasul. So the Rav wanted to return to Pnei Yehoshua. We're talking about the case in the Mishnah in Zvachim, and why did Rashi bring it to teach us a halacha? That not only when you have a world of pasul do we have a din of nezek, but even if you bring a korban with the wrong identity, and we say that the korban that you brought is a korban, but the fellow has to bring another korban, we're going to view that as nezek. What does it mean to view it as nezek? We're going to view it as that there is a psul in the korban. Namely, it's not that the korban is totally fine. No. There's a problem in the korban itself, because in order to be a nezek, there has to be a pegia in the cheftza. Again, working the Rav Lashitasa that we saw on Daf Dalet Amud Beis. And this, the Rav pointed out, is Rashi Lashitasa, that Rashi over there in the Mishnah says, ki ilu hitnadafta lezen edava acheres velo l'shem harishana. Similarly, there's Tosfos in Menachos, l'chalek shelo l'shma oker hakorban v'osehu korban acher. That when you change identity, you have been pogeya, you have undermined the cheftza itself. And you're paying for undermining the cheftza. In other words, that the chiddush of Rashi is that not only a classic case of pigul do you undermine the korban, even in the case of change of identity, you are undermining the korban. Okay?
How does he read into Rashi?
Excuse me?
How does he read into this Rashi? Doesn't this Rashi sound like...
So this Rashi, again, we read according to the girsa of the Pnei Yehoshua. Kohen sheshachat korbano sheyisrael shlamim l'shem chatos. That in this case, ein ha-korban ole l'chovas ba'alav v'tzorech acher. And this is nezek. And this could, in other words, this should have been counted as one of the avos nezikin. That Rashi over here is l'shitaso, that not only the classic pigul, but also. The Rashi wants to add in that we have over here a broad category of pigul that includes not only the world of a change of time and place, but also the world of a change of identity. We would have thought a change of identity, there's a hefsed mamam, the fellow's bringing another korban, but there's no pigia, there is no undermining of the object, kamash malan. Even here we have an undermining of the object. Again, it's a conceptual approach to Rashi. Whether Rashi really meant it or not, I can't tell you, but it's taking the approach that we saw and giving it a third nafkamina within an hour of shir. The Gemara then asks, Ela Moser, why is it Moser counted? After all, if someone snitches to the authorities and causes someone a loss of money, isn't that also an av nezek? My time alotani. So the Gemara answers, Shiny Moser, didibura. That we're not talking about damage caused by speech, talking about damage caused by action. Is that really true? Hamotzi shemra diburahu v'katani. So our answer is dibura de'ispe maisehu. That the whole world of motzi shemra is only following a maisa bia of the husband and his wife, in which he claims he didn't find besugin. But we also have the case of Eid Zomim. Isn't that pure Dibur, the Kasher Zama? So Gemara answers, Hasam afagav de lespe maise, Rachmana karye maise. Dechziv, asisem lo kasher zamam, laasos lo achiv. The question is, what's going on over here? What distinction is there between Moser on one hand and Eid Zomim on the other hand? We're dealing with two instances in which a person, via his speech, causes a loss to someone else, either by snitching to the authorities or by giving false testimony. He's causing a loss. What does it mean over here that the Torah calls this a maisa and here the Torah doesn't call it a maisa? Is this, why would this make a difference in terms of avos nezikin? Did you reach these maramakamos yet about Moser? Okay, so we'll stop over here. I'd like you to look at them. Let me just give you the background, okay? And that I can do in 2 minutes. In other words, we have a Mishnah in Chulin and Daf Yud Daled. that once upon a time every musmach in YU used to learn because Hilchos Shchita was required. That if a person is shechs on Shabbos, person shechs an animal on Shabbos, the Shchita is kosher. You can eat from that Shchita. All the Rishonim ask, what do you mean you can eat from that Shchita? We have a din that Mumar Lachal al Shabbos of Farhesia, his Shchita is the Shchita of a Goy. That a person who's Machal al Shabbos Farhesia takes himself out of the Jewish people, and in terms of Shchita, and it's as though a Goy shechted this animal. And when a Goy shechts an animal, it's pasul. This person shechted on Shabbos. He's a Mumar Lachal al Shabbos Farhesia. How can the Mishnah say that the Shchita is kasher? So there's a Machokas Rishonim as to what the answer is. Tosva says that when you become a Mumar L'chal Shabbos Farhesia, only after three times. After you shecht, if you're Mechal Shabbos three times with Farhesia, then you're a Mumar L'chal Shabbos Farhesia. You have a status of a Mumar, and then, and to this person, first is this one strike. Three strikes and you're out. One strike, you have a strike against you, but you're still a Jew. Three strikes, you're like a Mumar, you're like a Goy. That's Tosfos' answer. The Rambam says, what are you talking about? Rambam, the Perish Mishnayos over there. When he begins to shecht, even before he shechted, even before it's a kosher shechita, he began to shecht. He did a chabala. He cut the neck of the animal. That's a melacha d'oraisa on Shabbos. That turns him into a Mumar l'chalel Shabbos and be farhesia. So why then is the shechita kosher? Because the Mishnah is talking about a case of shogeg. He forgot it was Shabbos, or he didn't know that that you're not allowed to shecht on Shabbos. It was a case of shogeg. Namely, according to the Rambam, one strike and you're out. According to Tosos, three strikes and you're out. What over here is the machlokes, whether one strike or three strikes? So the Rav, when we learned Hilchos Shchita, I never learned Yoredeya, because the year that I was by the Rav, he didn't want to learn Yoredeya, with a lot of us who didn't have a Yoredeya requirement. So he agreed to learn Torah Sabayis. Torah Sabayis is the Rashba's Yoredeya, on which you have the Ra'ah. So we spent the entire year learning Torah Sabayis, and my smicha is on Torah Sabayis. I didn't learn Yoredeya until I got to Eretz Yisrael. But anyway, when the Rashba quoted this Mishnah, and the Rav came to this Machlokas between the Balei HaTosos and the Rambam, so the Rav said, the Machlokas is what turns you into a Goy? Is it a Maisa Aveira Chamura, that Machalol Shabbos Farhesia, you light a cigarette on Shabbos, you cut the neck of an animal on Shabbos, you carry in the Rosh Hashanah of Shabbos, that's a Maisa Aveira Chamura, and that you're high of Skila, and that you're high of Kores, that turns you into a Mumar L'chalol Shabbos Farhesia. That changes your halachic status. Tosfos says, no. What changes your halachic status is that you're a Rasha. And one time, you're not a Rasha. Three times, when you become a Muchzak, when you get the status of someone that this to you already turned into a Heter, that you've done it three times, and this is now your way of life, that turns you into a Goy. So they have Machlokas, what turns you into a Goy? A Maisa Aveira Chamura or a Shem Rishus? So when it comes out that if you shecht one time, you've done a Maisa Aveira Chamura, you're not yet a Rasha. The question is as to whether we can find the opposite scenario. Could you be a Rasha and not yet have done a Maisa Aveira Chamura? Is there a status in Judaism of someone who could be a Rasha even without a Maisa Aveira Chamura? You could have done a Maisa Aveira Chamura without being a Rasha. Can you be a Rasha without doing a Maisa Aveira Chamura? In that context, I'd like you to look at the din of Moser. Okay? And then, within that context, I think that the language of the Gemara will be very, very, very powerfully meaningful. Okay, so that will take us up to the two dots after you see the case of Moser. Then we are going to learn the next, in other words, next Gemara up to Daf Vav Amud Aleph. I'm well aware that on Daf Hey Amud Beis in the Lo Harei, there's a lot of technical details, a lot of cheshbonos. I'm not, by my nature, into cheshbonos. It's Katayin and Masker. I find cheshbonos to be very, very difficult. how, you know, where it's exactly what Chazal did mean and didn't mean, b'chule, b'chule. So I'll give you Mar Makamos about that, which I view as more conceptual issues on Daf Hey Amid Beis, and hopefully we'll deal with that next time, and then we'll be able to continue moving. What I'd like to, I'm sorry for keeping you over time, I just want to make put something on the table to make, I hope, your life a bit easier. I have to go to America for a week in March. Normally when I go to America, that's when I give the Bechina, but usually I go to America in February. To go in March, it's because it's an Ibrigor, because we have an extra month of Adar, and I want to go as late as possible, because as you well know, your friends don't make decisions until as late as possible. So I'd rather go before, you know, after make the decisions, or through the next year, rather than before. It gets very confusing. So what I was thinking of is maybe giving you this year three Bechinas instead of two Bechinas. Having a Bechina sometime soon after Hanukkah, in, the, let's say, the middle of December, then have another Bechina in March, and a third Bechina in June. Each of the Bechinas will be on a smaller amount of material, but that way, in other words, I'll be able to use my time that I'm not with you, you'll be able to use it meaningfully, if it's okay, and then it doesn't interfere also with Yoredeya or Hilchos Shabbos, because they have totally different, you know, semester schedules as opposed to trimester schedules. So if that's okay with you, we'll have about another month of Shiur, approximately, and then you'll have a time for Chazara and a Bechina, and then again, we'll have the month of January, you know, where it's another 2 months, 2.5 months of Shiur, and a Bechina, and then again, another 2 months of Shiur and a Bechina. Okay? The Seder. The Bechina is more an opportunity for you to hear the Chazar. I really don't. You should care, you know, whether you know the material. It doesn't, you know, you all pass, don't worry. But I'd like you to have a chance to review.